Well, here we are here today.
Oh, take one.
Take one. All right.
That's going in there.
Welcome to season two of the Dare to Believe podcast. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
Are you excited about season two?
I'm very excited about season two. We've got a lot of great guests for our listeners and interviews full of revelation, awesome stories and testimonies that will encourage and inspire you, our listener, for the more of God.
So we want you to dare to believe. Hi, this is Christy Grainer, and I'm here with Rebecca Ribnick. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
And our good friend, Dr. Kim Bushman. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
Hi, Kim.
We're so glad you're here today.
Absolutely.
Likewise. We interviewed Kim about a year ago, and we just love working with Kim, and we think she's such an amazing psychologist and woman of God that we wanted to have more time with you. So we're glad that you're here.
Thank you.
And so we're glad to have you here today, Kim. We were just talking before recording that Kim was recently out in Redding, California.
Yes.
So tell us what you were out there for.
Yeah, so I went to a Heaven and Business retreat. So I've been to their Heaven and Business conference twice, and this year I went to their retreat, which was a very intimate group. There's like 19 people.
Wow.
And we were at a retreat center up in the mountains one day overlooking Shasta Lake.
Ooh.
And then a couple days at their main office, but lots of just prayer and prophecy and just sitting with the Spirit and encounters. And it was like literally having a spiritual massage. And
I came back
feeling like I feel like I'm at a higher level, which is really nice. So,
yeah. And if people don't know about Heaven in Business, it is a very active mm-hmm. network of men and women of God who have businesses. And your business is Water's Edge Counseling mm-hmm. Center. Mm-hmm. And so you go as a businesswoman and
Correct.
You get prayed over, you receive teaching, but mm-hmm. then you also go out and pray over businesses, right?
Yes. So they always do an activation session where the participants get to go into the community with businesses that they've pre-arranged, and we get to just prophesy and pray over them and bless them, and it's like my favorite part. It's so fun.
Why is it your favorite mm-hmm. part?
I just get excited. Like, God wants to, like, be in the marketplace, right? And he just wants people to succeed. And so going into a place of business is just, you know, new territory, it feels like, even though people have been doing it for a while, it's new territory for me to think about that, hey, God really wants to move here and I can use my spiritual gifts to bless somebody's business. Hmm. And when you bless their business, you bless part of them, which when they feel blessed, then they have a better relationship with God as well. So it's kind of the circular, taking the kingdom on the road type stuff.
And it's kind of mm-hmm. like the body of Christ has gotten this in theory, but these mm-hmm. guys are taking it into a much greater day-to-day reality.
Exactly.
So if you could mm-hmm. talk about what was your thought life, what was your perspective as a business owner before you kind of did this mm-hmm. kingdom and business, or heaven and business thing, sorry.
Yeah. So before I kind of got the whole perspective of what it's like to lead and to manage a business through mm-hmm. Direct connection with God, you're just so much more vulnerable to anxiety, hmm. right? Like just the fear that this wasn't going to work, I'm making the wrong decision, or I don't know what I'm doing, or, you know, and it's just like that vulnerability to that anxious
sure.
self, that sense of you have to know, even if you don't know what you don't know, mm-hmm. would feed that. And as I started tapping into God and realizing, like, hey, he actually cares about this, and I can just directly ask him. So he is like my number one mentor I go to say, what do I do in this decision? Do you want me to hire this person? What do we do with this program? Do we keep it going? Are we supposed to go in a new direction? And so it's so much easier. And it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, there's been this misconception that we kind of do church in one part. And maybe, like, we understand that Christianity should be affecting our families,
right.
maybe our personal life. But business still kind of seems like its own separate realm.
Yeah.
And you have to go figure stuff out on your own and make mistakes and errors and not invite Holy Spirit into that or not have the prophetic working in that. So it's really fun hearing you talk about that.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's like I tell people my business plan is just whatever God wants me to do. It's like the best business plan, right? I don't have to perform. I just know that I'm going to be taken care of. And he has multiplied us over and over and over again.
That is so true. When I first met you, you were in a small place in Burnsville. And we love working with Kim and with Water's Edge because they have a strong value for Christian faith and for the Word of God. In this practice, you are sensitive to people who may not have the same faith, but you are, you don't hide it and you don't apologize for it in the least. So it's wonderful as a ministry to work in partnership with you. I just love it. And so, but when we first met you, you have now, have you moved twice since then? Or you,
I think,
you expanded?
I think we might have moved twice. And we've, in the latest building, we moved in 2016. And it's an 18,000 square foot building. And we took like 12,000. And the next year we took another, I don't know, 1,500. And the next year we took another 1,500. So every year since we moved in, we've expanded more into the building and taken more territory to add more providers and administrative room so that we can function. And it's good.
It's very good. It's very good. Thank you for doing that. That took a lot of courage because you are a little bit going against the typical. I wouldn't say the norm, because what is normal, but the typical in the psychological profession that discounts Christian faith.
Yeah. I was just talking to my team today about the origin of psychology by Freud. Was he developed psychology as the solution against religion. And that's how psychology started. But yet biblically, when we think about the word soul and psych, it actually is the study of the soul, the study of psychology. So biblically, the Bible's claimed it a lot longer than Freud claimed it. So it's like we're taking back territory, which I hadn't thought about.
Well, that's really cool.
Until
very
now.
Cool.
So yeah, it's good stuff. And it's so much easier. Like I was also telling my team today that, you know, when we partner with the Holy Spirit in our work, the risk of burnout goes down drastically.
Speak to that a little more.
So when your soul is working and you feel like you have to do everything, right? You have to know the solution for this person or the direction to take this person. It can just wear on you, and you're more likely to carry their distress. You know, we're not meant to carry other people's distress. We're meant to walk with them, but not carry it. And it's two very different experiences in our body and in our soul. And so when we're partnering with the Spirit, we're just a conduit to what the Spirit wants to do in terms of healing. And so our soul doesn't have to strive, and our bodies don't get as tired, and our mind doesn't get as tired. So there's just a lot more freedom, and there's a lot more fun to the therapy session, to just like, wow, I can't believe what God did there, or how he helped me in that situation. And so you're never in a therapy session alone as the therapist when you know the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Like anything else, you can invite him right into it.
Exactly.
And he carries burdens much better than we do.
Yes.
And that's interesting as a business owner and that whole segment too, because it's not just psychology here. There's this other aspect of you run a business, and a lot of people that run businesses carry so much weight on their shoulders. There's so much stress. They think about their employees. They think about the families that they support through their business, and they feel so responsible for it.
It's one of those things that I've talked to some team members over the years about. Like, I do take very seriously, if I'm hiring somebody, I want to make sure that I have the ability for them to make a livelihood, and that we would have the business, right? And so If I was going to do that solely, that would be, that's a lot more stressful. But if I know that God's calling us and the Holy Spirit's prompting me to do this expansion or do this round of hiring, I don't really venture into that thought. Like, I just ask God, are you going to provide if we do this? And if he says yes, then we go with it. And if he says pause, then we just wait.
And a couple things that I see there that's so wonderful, which it means that you have to trust the Lord more than you trust anyone else, which is wonderful, because he is faithful, always faithful. But you also need to know how to discern the voice of the Lord correctly.
Yes.
And people can sometimes assign something that they have a desire for that they haven't really heard the Lord tell them, like, oh, I decided God must think like I think, and this, of course, God would want this, which is an immature way of listening to the Lord. So the hearing the voice of God correctly and discerning well is something that you've spent a lot of time doing.
And I have some key people in my life now where I will go to them and say, I'm not trusting my hearing on this one. I feel a little fuzzy, or it's just landing without peace, or something's different in how I'm hearing it. And I've learned to trust that, to say, bring in other people and look for that confirmation. And if they get the same thing, we move forward. But just being able to partner and recognize that sometimes it is me influencing it. And I'll just say, God, I really want this. Like, I really don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And if this is from you, or and if this is what you want me to do, I will do it. But you need to make it really clear, because my soul is a little too in it.
Yeah.
And that's a valid prayer. That's wisdom right there, to recognize where your heart is and what you want to hear.
Yeah. And then being willing to, you know, step back from that and say, you know, as Jesus did on the cross, and your will would be done.
Mm-hmm. Right? But to have that wise counsel of people you trust, who you know will speak truth to you.
Yes.
Not just people who will tell you what you want to hear, but they'll speak truth to you. And that wise counsel always helps you be a wiser leader.
Right. Yeah. And it's been important as we've grown, that I have more of those people around me. Right. Mm-hmm. Not a ton of people, but a couple of people that are high level listeners or have matured in their ability and their discerning spirits. And so that part has been really helpful, as well as validating. It's like, you know, I hang on prophetic words a lot. Like, I pull on them a lot. Like, God, you said this, I'm claiming it and I'm stepping out on that. And I do that on a regular basis. And so there's a couple people in my life, when they sent something, or they're listening for me or for Water's Edge, and they say something that lands, and usually God will have given me a thought that aligns with that, or there's some confirmation that now I'm pulling on my words that I'm getting, but I'm also pulling in the words God's given them when they're in alignment and lifting Water's Edge or myself up. And so that's also been really edifying and encouraging and strengthening. So
that's
and
so
it's
good.
Still so much fun. Yeah. I said that a lot, but I really do have fun when I'm partnering with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that helps with burnout, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
You're having fun. You're not getting exhausted and downtrodden and carrying something that's not yours to carry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love, Kim and I were talking a little earlier. Rebecca wasn't quite here, but we were talking about her own personal journey and how she is now teaching out of her personal journey. And in the past, Kim wrestled with anxiety. Mm-hmm. So as a young adult, or even as a child?
Even as a child.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. So it was just a big deal in her life.
Yeah.
Became a psychologist, but still had some of that.
Yeah.
And then has really processed through that and has overcome it with the Lord's help. But you are now teaching people what that pathway looks like in a very understandable, logical way. It's logical, scriptural way. And so if we don't mind, I'd love for you to unpack some of that.
Yeah. So I think you're talking about the neurobiology and the old self, new self.
Yeah, the neurobiology of all this. Don't you want to hear about the neurobiology?
I know, right?
Rebecca?
It sounds like so
I actually
smart.
Really do. I like this stuff a lot. I nerd out on it for sure.
Yeah.
So I do too. My undergraduate degree is psychology. Do you know that about me?
I do.
Yes.
I do know that
so
about you.
So I love
you.
It too.
Yeah. So the neurobiology is just uncovering, you know, how God created us, right? So the ability for the medical world to do brain scans and kind of have a better picture and understanding of what happens biologically when we have different experiences.
Literally a better picture. You can see in a brain scan how a thinking process works.
Exactly.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, when you experience something, you know, which area of the brain lights up. And yeah, so it's really incredible what they're doing. And so the neurobiology connected to mental health that we primarily talk about is just really basic brain anatomy, but mostly this concept of neural pathway systems. And that it's that concept that we are always able to learn new things, but sometimes it's really hard to stop doing the old thing. Mm. And so it's like Paul's verse about, you know, I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do. And it's like that vulnerability. It's like he talks in, I think it's in Romans 7, where he just talks about like, I'm repeatedly going back and doing the stuff that I say I'm not going to do or that I hate, and attributes it to our sinful nature. But earlier in Romans, he's talking about the idea that we should consider ourselves dead to sin. And I always thought that meant, I'd always heard the interpretation of that verse as, you know, our new self allows us to say our old self is dead. Like, it's actually dead. And I'm like, well, it keeps coming back. How can it's not dead then? And so the neural pathway systems and then further studying the scripture has really helped me see, like, okay, this is where the merging of the Bible and what we know psychologically and neurobiology come together, is that when the brain sees a patterned, you know, a response that you repeat, it is very efficient and it chunks all that information and puts it in a folder. And then when you're in that situation again, it just pulls out that folder. And it just pushes a button, kind of, and it just is off to the races. And great analogy, very simple analogy, is when you drive a car. Compared to when you first learned to drive a car, you had to think about it, you know, more tense, kind of remember to set the mirrors, look in the mirrors. And now after you drove it 100 times, it's like automatic, right? And you're not so tense. You're down to one-handed driving versus two-handed driving and sometimes a little too relaxed. And then you go and you rent a new car. And it's like something's different, right? Like, this happened to me recently. I rented a car and it was a newer version of my car. And I got in and I knew how to start it. And then I went to shift it. And I reached down with my right hand and I'm like, there's no lever. So I went back older file and went to the steering column to see if the shifter was on the steering column, and it wasn't. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to go in and ask these guys, like, how to put this car in reverse and drive, right? And then I looked and the gear shifts were push button on the dashboard.
That's really old school. I've seen some really, actually, push buttons that were buttons that went in. These are probably just touchpads.
Yeah. But I was like, that freaked me out. Because I'm like, what if I want to go for the radio and I push the car in reverse when I'm driving? You know, so my first thought is, I don't like that change.
It doesn't feel safe.
Exactly. And by the time I drove it a couple times, it was normal. Right. And yeah. So, and that's what the brain does. It just continuously looks for, do we already have a file that we can use here? Because the brain would rather be efficient and conserve energy. And so it's not going to recreate a new file unless you consistently and intentionally push yourself to do the new behavior over and over and over again, to the point that the old file goes further in that filing cabinet. And it starts to atrophy like a muscle. And then the new one is worked out more, so it gets stronger and automatic, until you get into a situation that is higher stress and the new file hasn't been linked to a high stress situation yet.
Ooh.
And that's when you're really vulnerable to going back into old behaviors.
So say that again. So when you get in a higher stress situation, you more easily revert to old behaviors.
Exactly. So your brain has like a filing cabinet for high stress situations. And so when you learn a behavior in a low stress situation, that you have to link it somehow to the high stress situation.
And how do you link it?
Practice.
Okay.
And intentionality. It's the same formula that it took to learn the behavior. You have to think about it. You have to be intentional about it. You have to study it. You have to practice it. And then your brain will just start putting it together when it sees the repetition. And so when people, like, they can, like, be in recovery for a really long time from, like, addictions or eating disorders or gambling or shopping or anger, sleep, any of those things that kind of help us numb from a situation of distress that we don't want to experience, they can have what looks like conquered that and be doing really well not going to that numbing behavior until they get in a really high situation. Like, maybe they experience a death of a parent, or they have a financial crisis and they've never had a financial crisis before, or a business fails, or they get a chronic illness. Like, the brain doesn't have any file for that, but it has a survival file that created over the years. And so it will just go to, what did we do when we didn't know what to do and our system felt overwhelmed? And that's the survival file. And so it pulls it out in that new high stress situation, because it's already there and it's most efficient. Instead of saying, oh, okay, we're going to have to slow down because we're going to have to think about being intentional about using this new skill set that we have. But that's exactly what needs to happen.
So two questions come to my mind. As an individual, what would I do in that situation? I know you say practice, but if I just lost a parent, or I just had lost a bunch of money and
I'm tempted to go back into something. How can I help myself?
Yeah.
But also as an individual who works with people with woundedness, how do I help them if I know they've entered into a stressful time?
I think naming that, and this is where just having that very basic neurobiology explanation that I just gave, like you really don't need to know a whole lot more than that neurobiologically to be able to walk with somebody. And we can tell them, hey, here's what's happening biologically, here's what's happening spiritually, and how it all works together, then we give them hope. Because it's like, oh, I can change that. I actually know I'm capable of learning new things. And if we can talk about the goal is to actually tolerate some of the distress and not feel like you have to numb it. Like God created our bodies to tolerate distress. We just don't like doing it, right? And so we learn all these ways to numb it. And to undo that, we have to say, I can actually tolerate this. And there's things I can do, like go to prayer. I can, you know, focus and soak with God. I can go to worship songs, you know, walk with a friend.
Don't open that other file. Don't open that old file.
Exactly.
You can do this instead.
Yep. It's going to show up and it's going to be an option. But one of the things you can do is recognize, what are the things that tell me, what are the signs that tell me I am stepping into that old file self? Right?
Can you give us an example?
Yeah. You might start thinking somebody, let me see, if they're
eating disorder, for instance.
Eating disorder might go into haven't had thoughts to restrict food intake for a really long time, for years and years and years. And then I have a high stress situation and that person suddenly notices they're having thoughts about not eating. Or they're valuing the weight loss that comes from the normal kind of tight, anxious stomach when you're going through a high stress situation. And that's a neurobiology thing too. That's a vagal nerve that goes down into your stomach from your emotion center, the middle part of your brain. And so there's, you know, any of the physical sensations can lead to that, oh, when we used to feel this, we did this as a coping strategy. We used to restrict, or we used to exercise compulsively, or we used to weigh ourselves excessively. Or if somebody has drugs and alcohol, addictions and histories, or just abuse, it doesn't even have to be addiction, then they can go back to, oh, yeah, I used to have two or three glasses of wine every night. And so I start doing that again, and pretty soon I'm like, wow, I've had two to three glasses of wine every night for this last week. And if you can catch it at that point, it's a little bit easier to change that and be intentional, like, wow, I have to be really intentional. I need to get some support. I need to remember, how did I get on that new pathway to start with? And then you just go back and you start doing those same things.
You know, and we were talking about this, but what my mentor, John Paul Jackson, used to always say is, what you focus on, you empower.
Yes.
And that gives credible evidence for what you focus on, you empower. So if you focus on what your new way is, what God's empowered you to do, you empower that in your life. But when you focus on the old anxiety or the old behavior, you empower that. And so just don't even attend to it. It might pop up, but ignore it the best you can and focus on what you want to be and how you want to respond.
Yes, exactly. And that's what Paul's talking about, right? He's talking about...
Yeah, let me read this to us. Romans 7:14-20, right?
Yes.
We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who am doing it, but is sin living in me. So that's the scripture you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature, but I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do what is good, the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. it's kind of a...
But it feels that crazy feels too, like. Right? Yeah. Like even it's hard to read and it's like hard to live.
Yeah. It sounds like naming it, recognizing what's going on, having kind of a cheat sheet, like this is happening, this signal just went off. What do we do when this alarm goes off?
Yes, exactly. And that alarm or that signal can be a body sensation. It can be an impulse to do a certain behavior. It can be withdrawal from people and isolating. It can be increase or decrease in sleep. It can be a way that you move in the world. It can be you feel sluggish or your thoughts start to change. There could be certain types of thoughts that are connected with the old pattern. And the sooner you can catch any of those signals, then that's where you can intervene.
You know, I like that because sometimes people who understand spiritual things want to blame that on a spiritual issue when it's not necessarily a spiritual issue.
Correct.
So the enemy's tempting me to do this. Well, not really. This is part of your brain is giving you that possibility as an out again. Don't take it.
Yes.
But it's, you know, and you know, I don't want to ignore the spiritual realities, but I also don't want to glorify them.
Right.
You know, you also talked about Romans 6, 11 to 14. Let me read that one. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And so that gives us the ability to see that, okay, I do have other options, and that might be an actual physical thing in your brain that these things pop up, but you always have another choice.
Yeah.
And to slow down and take the other choice.
Exactly. And it's the idea, you know, again, that it's what died when we accepted Christ is our option, that we don't have to follow that sinful tendency. Right. And so what we know about the neural pathway system, and what Paul later talks about from that first verse that you read, Christy, is that it's there yet. We can choose to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also aligns with the fact that God gave us our own will. But we don't have to follow that. But when we do put our eyes on it, or if we think that is still who we are, we have a higher probability of living our life according to that belief system that we are our sinful nature, instead of I am a restored person, I am a redeemed person. And so it literally is just like crossing the line and turning around. It can be as simple as that, and then your eyes are focused on the new, and then you just start building off of that.
And spiritually you're free of it, but neurologically, you might still have a temptation. It reminds me of the Matrix, when you had either a red pill or blue pill. You have a moment of choice, and you have a choice. We always have a choice.
Yes.
And so to blame it on someone else or say you're powerless to sin, you aren't.
Exactly.
But you need to make that choice, and you need to focus on the option that the Lord's giving you.
Yes.
And there's an element of shame that can come on believers when they're like, well, I'm saved, but I still struggle with this, or I still have these tendencies, or this happened, and that can just go into isolation and shame and be a huge downward spiral.
Exactly.
And it's a soul issue, not a spiritual issue.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, there's victory in the cross. We don't need to, you can speak to this, Dr. Bushman, but are we ever stuck? Is there a solution that, or is there ever a situation that we come across in our lives that there can't be a solution, that we can't work towards freedom and retrain those pathways?
I would say, well, possibly, like if there's brain damage, you know, but that's a tricky question, right? Because
there's
always healing available,
right? Create a miracle or something, right?
But then why doesn't God heal everybody? And so, but there are situations, right? Because those neural pathways don't necessarily leave us unless God does a supernatural healing around those, which He can. And some people will describe, like, I had this encounter, I had this experience, and I've never had an urge since, you know, to drink or to use drugs. But what I don't know from them is what happened when they got into that new high-stress situation. Did that stick? Because it certainly could have. If God came in and not only healed them of the initial layer, but did a deeper level of healing in them, it's very possible. You know, God can restore to fullness and rewrite all our pathway system. So we should be praying for that happens. And until that happens, we just have to keep recognizing that vulnerability. And not only the vulnerability, but even more so our option to do opposite of that. Like to go to that new self behavior, to meditate on the verses in the Bible that describe who we do want to be, how we want to live. You know, things that give us more peace, things that bring anything of the fruits of the Spirit is just a great measuring stick. Is how I'm thinking helping me experience any of the fruits of the Spirit? Is what I'm about to do likely to bring me any fruits of the Spirit that are long-lasting? Not just a temporary joy, but that deep joy that only Christ can bring us and living a Spirit-led life can bring us.
And there are times when I can figure that out myself. There's times when I need someone to pray with me and help me get myself back on track. And there's times when I need to go to a psychologist like you and just talk it through and get the soul healing that I need and to be strong enough to do that. And so it's, you know, people would go to a physical trainer. They need to go to a soul trainer. They need to go to a spiritual trainer. I mean, we need to work on all of us, all of who we are, to be healthy and to be strong.
Yeah. And the caveat that I would say there, Christy, is that when you go to a therapist, if you're working with a therapist, we're primarily trained in working with what we would say is the soul, right? Our own thoughts, our emotions, our own will. And so if a therapist isn't equipped with biblical language about identity and truth about the power of God in our life, then everything that happens in that therapy session is empowering the soul. And when the soul continuously gets powered and not in connection with God, then we have a soul-led life. Mm-hmm. And it feels better than what it did before they came in, but it also leads to just some ongoing struggles with emptiness and hopelessness and, you know, not a true sense of purpose. It's all kind of earthly stuff. And so working with counselors who have that biblical language and skill set to overlay with their clinical skills brings us ultimately into that deeper level of healing and truth that is long-lasting.
And so if any of our listeners are in the Twin City area, we definitely recommend Water's Edge Counseling Center. But if they aren't, how would someone go about finding a person like that?
So there are organizations like the Minnesota Psychological or Christian Counseling.
Minnesota Christian Counseling?
Yep, it's MAC, Minnesota Association of Christian Counseling. And there's also a national organization that is the American Association of Christian Counseling. They would have some lists. You can also call your insurance company and ask if they have any therapists on their panels, their credentialed panels, so they'd be in-network for your insurance, that do Christian integration. And some of the insurance companies, that's actually listed as a competency that we can check off.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Wow.
So what else has the Lord been talking to you about with regarding our brains and the integration?
I think that the end result of kind of the conversation that we've been having about the neural pathway system and old self and that new self is really just the idea of how do we invest and get connected to intentional living. I wouldn't say invest in connection. I would change those words. That how do we be intentional? And how do we actually start to think about, I need to be intentional about what I do, what I put my eyes on, what I hear, what I listen, who I spend my time with? Because all of that is going to help develop that new self, right? And so I think that's one of the big changes for me. And I might have talked about this in the first podcast that I did with you.
It's okay. Talk about it again.
Is just that as I've matured spiritually, I've had to change how I live. And as I've changed how I live, there's things that I miss from the earthly world, but I don't miss them at the same extent that I miss my spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. Like if I go back and try them, I was like, oh, I think I might want to do whatever, you know, go hang out with people who are all about beauty or superficial things or something like that. And it's just like empty conversation. And so it's like I don't miss it enough. I just have to put my toe in the water to go, oh, yeah, this doesn't do it anymore me. But it meant like changing TV shows. It meant what movies I watch, change what books I read, when I read, because I don't like to have my dream life affected. And whatever is on my mind when I go to bed, I'm dreaming about, it seems like. If I watch a movie, that's in my dream somehow. And so I just get protective, and it can be isolating in a soulish way, right? And it's so that intentional living to say what's most important to me is my connection with God, and that is rewarded by how I feel physically, how I feel emotionally, how I feel in my relationships, and just the depth of the joy and the peacefulness is so worth giving up some of these things on the earth. But there can be a little withdrawal, you know, if you're like thinking, I want to do that. There can be a process.
Well, and it's like you don't know, you know what you don't want to do anymore, but you don't know what it's going to look like in the future. And you know what you miss, but you don't know how the Lord's going to fill that. I'm looking for that verse where Jesus talked about be careful what you look at, because it's your eye is the gateway to the soul or something like that.
Well, I'm just thinking on like a physical sense, like, you know, I like clean eating because I feel better. And then you like go back and you know, eat something that's junky or whatever. And it's like fun and it's a, you know, whatever, but you actually don't feel good. So if you want to have great sleep and quality energy and stuff, you can't do both.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hearing you say it. If you prize that connection with the Lord, that is the filter through what everything else has to run.
Exactly.
And this is the verse I was looking for, Luke 11:34. Your eye is the lamp to your body. And when your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. So kind of what you see, what you take in, and it's your whole self and your soul being in there. Your brain's part of your body. And your brain actually becomes unhealthy. The neural pathways, the ways you think, the behaviors that become natural to you, it's unhealthy.
Exactly.
And it's darkness. But God is light. So let the light in, and it will change your brain, literally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is actually a really different way of living Christianity as opposed to don't do this because it's wrong.
Right.
When you're saying, I prize this connection, so I'm going to make these sacrifices or just live a certain way.
Exactly. And there's so many things that you can do, right? And when we focus on what we can do, like the brain likes to be moving forward. So whenever you're trying to change behaviors, it's best to not just focus on, well, I'm not going to do this or this or this, but instead say, okay, no, I'm not going to do that, but I am going to do this, this, and this. So when I have an impulse to go to that old behavior that I don't want to do, I remind myself, oh, instead I was going to do this. And the more you look at that, the higher the probabilities you will keep repeating what you want to do. The more you repeat that, then you develop a new neural pathway system, and eventually that one becomes stronger than your old one.
So it's very important to have a plan about what you do want to do.
Yeah, or a really good connection to God. Say, help, I don't know what to do right now. Tell me which direction to take.
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel vulnerable to going, you know, this old pattern. So I'm pressing in, God, tell me what to do here.
Yeah, that's really good. Bill Johnson told us when we were graduating from BSSM, he said, if in doubt, worship.
Yes.
Like if you don't have anything else to, you don't know what else to do. And there's been a few times where I've been really discouraged by something or just, I just don't know what to do. And it's the last thing I feel like doing. But I trust his wisdom or whatever, and I'll start worshiping, and things change.
I've had that same experience, and it always surprises me how hard it is to turn on the first song.
Yes.
When I'm in that state, it's like, that's the last thing I want to do, and it's the best medicine in the moment. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I do that, but I'm probably shooting 50% of the time when I need to be doing that, like to actually get myself to push a start button to a song. Why it's that Paul verse, you know, I do what I don't want
to
do.
I really like that though, when you doubt, because you don't, if you don't have a list, you don't know what you'll do, but you know what you don't want to do, worship. Just if you feel stuck, worship.
Exactly.
That's a good,
and it helps your, it helps your spirit for sure. And it helps your brain as well.
Yes.
That's interesting.
I think it gives you a little time as well.
Yes.
You can just have a little time, a little distance from whatever it is.
Yeah. It's a new numbing behavior, right? So instead of going to alcohol or eating disorder symptoms or drugs or exercise or shopping.
So you might not have an answer for this, so it's okay if you don't. But is there any brain science? Are you aware of any research on what happens when a person is forgiving? Does something change physiologically when we forgive?
Yes, there is, and I can't repeat that. I can't pull it up right now, but there's lots of research on it.
Next time we have you, we'll talk about forgiveness. Okay. Because there must be,
There's actually quite a bit of research on there. Tim Jennings, a Christian psychiatrist, has done quite a bit of research. And so,
it's just fun for me when science backs up scripture. And it does all the time. I mean, the Lord created everything, including science. So that shouldn't surprise me. But it just feels good because sometimes the world has pitted, and a lot of religious people have pitted religion against science, like we're two enemies.
Exactly.
And it seems so ridiculous because God created everything, so he knows science better than anybody.
Right.
And so, just I would love to
We'll have that conversation sometime.
Yeah. And before, you know, speaking of signs, we were speaking before we started recording about a study that I found that supported the use of SOZO.
Oh, so yeah. I love that.
The American Psychological Association has a journal called Spirituality in Clinical Practice. And I was scrolling through some abstracts on there and just kind of seeing what stuff they've been publishing lately. And I came by one that they, a study, it was in 2016, I think, where they talked about using a certain type of like reflective prayer. I forget the term that they use, but, and they said it was SOZO. And it's like, oh my gosh, there are actually science now supporting the use of SOZO in the clinical practice.
Wow.
And their outcome's not surprising, right? The outcome was that people who did the SOZO sessions had a perceived closeness with God, like a heightened sense of closeness with God, and that they had better affect, which is the emotional state, and that they had lower psychological distress. So now it's legit, right? Because it's in a spiritual, it's in a published, it's in a scientific journal.
I love it.
Makes it official.
Right? Exactly.
None of these clinical studies and trials. We got the real research here.
Got the real research here.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's so good. Well, it's wonderful talking with you, Kim. And I want to remind listeners that we're talking to Dr. Kim Bushman, and she oversees and owns and runs Water's Edge Counseling and Healing Center in Burnsville, Minnesota. And you can find them at www.watersedgechc.com. That's www.watersedgechc.com. And I would love for you to pray over our listeners.
But that, before that, just a question, kind of something to leave our listeners with. Mm-hmm. Do you have any life hacks or just like tips of how to kind of progress in our well-being, our emotional well-being, our mental well-being?
Yeah. I would say just, you know, start with where you're at, like identify what's working for you and then what's not working for you, and just choose one thing. And if you're not sure what to do different, like sometimes it's like, nobody taught me this, right? And mm-hmm. so sometimes we need skills, and there's lots of books out today, therapy, pastoral counselors, you know, here at Dare to Believe to come in for SOZO sessions. All of that can be equipping tools so that you have the skill to do what's needed in that situation. And so I would just assess, like, where am I at? What's one thing I can do different today? And just keep practicing that one thing for a while. And know that there's always hope, and that change is a process. And it's not a straight, lineal climb. There's ups and downs in that process, but don't give up. Just keep coming back and saying, this is who I want to be. And just remember, Paul did the same thing. And it's a human nature thing.
Right. You don't have to be perfect.
Exactly.
We don't want to endorse your failures, but Jesus is the only one who's perfect. So when you fail, pick yourself up, repent, get back on track, and ask the Lord to help you again.
Exactly.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now we'll have you pray for our listeners. Perfect.
So dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a God that just meets us right where we're at. And you are always there. You bless us, Lord. You protect us. You provide for us. And so, Lord, we thank you. And we thank you for the opportunity to learn on your behalf and to pull wisdom and understanding from heaven. And, Lord, we just ask that you would bless each listener, that you would give them insight to maybe pathways of their old self that they're not aware of. And, Father, just give them encouragement and give them the first step of creating a new pathway and show them what to keep their eyes on, Father, that would strengthen and edify them in your name. And so, Lord, we just bless everybody who's listening, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to partner with you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Dare to Believe podcast. We are grateful for you, our listeners. You can find out more about us at
our website, daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Also, to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes or however you listen to your podcasts. And go ahead and leave a 5-star rating while you're at it. Thank you, guys.